Our study is out of Haggai chapter 2, verses 10 through 19 of the Old Testament, God's call to faithful obedience for His faithful temporal rewards. One's faithfulness in obeying God is so important to the Lord, He connects it to His temporal rewards for it as long as His people continue to heed Him in order to encourage them to keep on keeping His will. In other words, what God likes to do, in order to keep us faithful, He'll give a blessing if we're continuing at something. And if we continue at it, He'll give a little more. A little more. He baits us to keep us faithful because faithfulness is so hard. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs, who can find a faithful man? The implication, it's hard to find someone who's really reliable. Day in and day out, year in and year out, decade in and decade out, is always on the go. Well, this truth is displayed in the message that God gave through His prophet in Haggai chapter 2, verses 10 through 19. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll study it. Haggai chapter 2, verse 10. Incidentally, Haggai is just before Zechariah, and Zechariah is just before the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. So we're looking at the third from the back book, or third from the last book in the Old Testament. Chapter 2, verse 10. In the 24th day of the 9th month, this would be basically November, December, in the second year of Darius came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt does he touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it become holy? And the priests answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by having touched a dead body, any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now, I pray you, consider from this day and backward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. And one came to the press vat, this would be the wine press, for to draw out 50 vessels or 50 hin out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and mildew and with hail in all of the labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, saith the Lord. So consider from this day and forward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even to the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, is yet the vine, and the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree has not brought forth. But from this day I will bless you. Now, you have to ask, what is going on? The date is extremely important. And so we'll look at it. The message of Haggai chapter 2, 10 to 19, came exactly 3 months after the events of Haggai chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, where the returned Hebrew exiles heeded Haggai's call to return to build the temple. Now, during that 3 month period of time, the people reconstructed the foundation of the temple. For example, if you go back to chapter 1 of Haggai in verse 15, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the second year of Darius the king, that's when they got back to rebuilding the foundation of the Lord's temple. And in chapter 2, verse 1, you have the 7th month. This is in the 20th and 4th day of the month came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel. Okay, and in the 24th day, verse 10, of the 9th month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord to Haggai the prophet. Now, what had happened in between, when they had started to build the temple in the 6th month, and then in the 9th month, they had completed the foundation. Verse 18 tells us that, consider from this day forward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, that's November, December, even from the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. So they had started building the Lord's temple back in the 6th month, and they had finished the foundation by the 9th month. So the Lord has another message for them. Now, all during this time when they've been building the foundation, there hasn't been any change. They've still, they haven't had any crops. because there hadn't been any rain. But all of a sudden, things are going to change. Since the reconstruction of the entire temple had not yet been completed, the Haggai chapter 2, 10 to 19 message urged the people to keep on obeying the Lord by completing the temple reconstruction work. God told Haggai to ask the priests if a man who carried sanctified meat destined for sacrifice could transfer that meat's sanctification to other items if he touched them. Of course, the answer was no, for ceremonial cleanness could not be transferred. All you can do is contaminate something that is clean. You can't take something clean and touch that which is contaminated and clean the contaminated. The only one who could do that is Jesus. Jesus came up one day at a little town of Nain in Galilee, and he touched a coffin, and he caused the person in the coffin to become clean and rise from the dead. Anybody else, that would have actually caused the person to become unclean. But Jesus actually was the only power who had a person who had the power, divine power, to touch something unclean and make it clean. So that's what they asked the priest. You know, if you touch something that is... If you have something clean and you touch something else that isn't, is it going to make it clean? No. But then God had Haggai asked the priests if a man who touched a ceremonially corrupt corpse was therefore defiled, could transfer his defilement to other items that he touched. The answer is yes, because ceremonial defilement was transferable, though ceremonial cleanness was not transferable. Now this is what God said this people is like, verse 14. Then answered Haggai and said, "So is this people. So is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean." Now, what is he saying? He's saying that God said he similarly viewed Israel in her past disobedience to him of ceasing her temple rebuilding work. Every other effort the people had made to please God had been made unclean by their corrupting sin of not obeying him regarding continuing to reconstruct the temple. See, they could come all day long to the temple with their sacrifices. They could come with their offerings. They could pray to God. And God says, as long as you're not obeying me and getting back to the work in the temple, as far as I'm concerned, your prayers, your offerings, and your sacrifices are corrupt. Because they're all corrupted because you haven't obeyed me. What I want you to do is to get back to rebuilding the temple. You want me to accept your sacrifice and your offerings and your prayers? Get busy working on the temple. Then I'll accept you. But if you're not going to do my will, anything else you try is not going to please me. You have to do what I want. It's interesting, when we work for the Lord, it's his ball game. You know, he's the referee. We've got to do it his way. And that's what God was saying in this particular situation. Indeed, before they had returned to begin working on the temple, God had disciplined the people for their disobedience in this matter as described in Haggai chapter 2, verses 15 to 17 as follows. God urged the people through Haggai to consider from that day, the third month, unto their work of rebuilding the temple and finishing its foundation, and backward to their past. They had seen only a lack of temporal blessings. Now, the term that's translated upward in Haggai chapter 2, verse 15, is better rendered backward. In other words, in past history. From this day, looking back, and then from this day, looking forward. So God is comparing the two. Now, these lacks were measurable in the form of very severe lacks of temporal blessings in line with God's promised cursings in Deuteronomy 28. See, God had said in Deuteronomy 28, if you don't obey me, you're going to see shortages. You're going to see shortages of grain production, shortages of olive oil production, and so forth. If you obey me, you're going to see a lot. Well, what had happened? They had seen a 50% drop in grain yields. Haggai chapter 2, the first part of verse 16. When one came to an heap or to reap 20 measures, behold, there were only 10. Instead of getting 20 measures of grain, they only got 10. 50% drop in crops. Then, when it came to the olive oil, the yield on the olive oil, when they came to draw 50 vessels of the press, there were only 20. That's a 60% drop. 60% drop in olive oil. So God had caused blight and mildew and hail damage to plague their yields, and the people had still not repented of failing to obey God in the issue of finishing the temple reconstruction. My father, who's with the Lord now, he used to deal with me that way. When I used to work on the farm, I had a temp. I was running a swather, and every now and then there I'd see a rabbit or a pheasant, and so I'd chase it down so I could get it wrung through the conditioner. And I'd run it through, and wham, you know, just like, of course, it would kill the animal, but I had this big kick out of it. But everything I did that, it broke the bearings. They had these expensive Fafner bearings on either side of the rollers. And that made my dad furious because those bearings were expensive. And then, you know, he wanted to get the hay cut. So that could be, and of course, this delayed everything by an hour or so. So he said, whatever you do, next time you see a pheasant or rabbit, you stop. You let the animal get out of there. But don't run them through the conditioner because, you know, and I don't want pheasant meat and rabbit meat running through the hay because the farmers don't like that. The cows don't like it. So stop it. So you have to do what I tell you to do. Otherwise, I'm not going to be pleased. So I had to learn the hard way. It's tough. You know, when you're 16 and 17, you think, you know, you can have some fun, but, you know, you can't. You've got to do what your dad tells you to do. Well, that's what God says. I'm your father, and I want you to get back to building the temple. Now, on the other hand, God told the people to consider from that day forward, the day that they had finished the temple foundation, he would reverse their poverty in reward for their obedience. That 24th day of the ninth month would be in November, December, when the people looked for the early rains to water their newly planted crops. Now we say, wait a minute, November, December, isn't that the latter rain? No, their year started in September. Well, September to September. So the early rains you would get in November and December. That would soften up the ground. The latter rains would come in the spring to finish out the crop so that you could harvest the crop near the end of the Jewish year, which would be in the summer months. So they were looking for the early rain. And God says, you haven't had rain very much, but I'm going to start giving you rain. You watch. From this day forward, you're going to start getting pounded probably with rain. So that would be great, especially when they would just have gotten some of the new crops into the ground so that the winter food. God observed that they no longer had any stores of staples in their barns, such as seed or grapes. That would be the staples. Or olives would be a staple. Or luxury. Luxury crops would be figs and pomegranates due to the past year's scarce agricultural yields. However, from that day forward, when they looked for the early rains, God would send them. Now, this is interesting because God's also hinting at something else. If you want the latter rains, you ought to keep on working. You know, you've built the foundation. You've got that done, so you're going to get the early rains. You want to get some latter rains? Why don't you keep building on top of the foundation? Hint, 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 hint. Otherwise, you're not going to get much of a yield. So keep working with me, and I'll keep working with you. You keep busy with my job, and I'll be busy helping you with your rewards. So God hinted that it was in their best interest to keep on working to finish the temple if his people expected God to send them the latter spring rains for a fulfilling harvest. So that's why he says in verse 19, is the seed yet in the barn? Of course not. Is yet in the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree has not brought forth. But from this day I will bless you. To motivate his people to keep obeying his call to reconstruct the temple, God gave them temporal blessings as faithfully as they faithfully obeyed him in that calling. So in application, we need to recall that God is watching how consistently we obey his assignments for us, and that he rewards us as consistently as we consistently obey him. So may we then stay faithful in our assignments from God for his sustained blessings. Now, as you know, we had a church meeting today after the morning service, and it had to do with the finances of the church, the financial welfare in the church. I had a couple of people see me afterwards and said, are you all right, Pastor? Because they were dealing with, you know, do we pay the salaries, pastor's salary, the missionary's salary, that kind of a thing. I'm just sitting back there. I made up my mind I wasn't going to say anything. And if asked, still, you know, sort of deflected because I feel it's not my business to say anything. But I had one Christian wanted to know, you know, what my thought was. And I said, well, this is actually predicted in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Because Revelation 3:20 implies that as the church trims down in number because people haven't been able to handle the stands that the church or the pastor has taken, and so it puts pressure on the giving, the pastor is very responsible not to browbeat the people for money, nor to look somewhere else for another kind of a job, but he's supposed to stay faithful to the Lord and pay attention to what God wants him to do, and then God will see to it that he's going to rule sovereignly in the flock, and then God will bless the pastor accordingly. That's so applicable to me because you have to understand, I left my first church and went to the second church for a $6,000 a year salary raise. I made $12,000 from my first church and I wanted to take the second church, $18,000. It's the worst decision I ever made. And the Lord spanked me real hard. The kids understand what spanking is, don't you? Well, I got spanked. God spanked me as a pastor big time. It's a different way than what you're used to. But boy, I'll tell you what. And the Lord said, whatever you do, don't you ever do that again. So I know exactly what the Lord wants. Well, after the services, that's what I was thinking on. After the service this morning, I was back here. I got to talking with a Christian. They asked me a question, so I answered the question. We got to talking about Scripture, and before I knew it, I was absolutely lost in the conversation trying to disciple this person. And then I realized what the Lord was doing. He was indicating, look, this is what I want you to continue to do. You just keep on trucking along and discipling my people, and you get yourself lost in that. I'll take care of all this other stuff. That's between me and the congregation. You focus on your job. And so that's what we're planning on doing. That's what I'm planning on doing. And that's what I was able to share with the Lord. But it was such a thrill back there talking with this Christian. We got to talking about 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. We were in 1 Corinthians 1:18, and we just got lost in it. And it was a thrilling experience in the midst of that. So that's what God is doing in my life. He's baiting me. Are you really going to hang in there, Don? Are you really going to be faithful? Because the more faithful you are, the more faithful I'm going to be to you. So now I want you to be faithful. Don't blow it like you did in your first situation. You want to overcome in that situation, so you have to hang in there. So I'd like to encourage you, if you're facing a situation in your own life, a challenge in your own life, and the temptation either maybe be to quit or to change course rather than stay with what the Lord, you know the Lord has called you to do, encourage you to stay with what the Lord has called you to do and let Him lead. Now, God may be wanting to change course in some area, but He's got to make that very, very clear. But if He hasn't made it clear, the key is He wants us to stay the course and not move around. And so that's what the Lord says. You watch from this day forward. I'll bless you.
Any questions or feedback in regards to this, we'll entertain it on the phone.